Blog Talk Radio.
Dialing. Establishing contact. All systems operational.
Welcome to the Sports Solitude Radio Network.
To this edition of The Game. I'm Russ Cohen, and we've got a special guest on the line, Yolanda Acosta. She's talking about her new book, Acosta, and it's about her brother, Oscar Acosta, who had a really good career in the majors and the minors, and it's really a terrific story. Yolanda, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good, Russ. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. So I guess the same way I was a first-time author, what made you want to become a first-time author?
Well, when my brother Oscar Acosta died in 2006 while he was managing the Yankee Gulf Coast League in the Dominican Republic, you know, we were just so devastated at the loss of my brother, and I wanted everyone to know who he was. I didn't want my brother just to be an asterisk on a book somewhere. And so I had the determination and the drive to let the whole world know who my brother was away from baseball, and I wanted them to know who he was as my brother and as a son and as a father. And so I started writing my book, and I started just researching everything that I could about my brother in baseball. He wasn't one that would come home and talk about baseball. He wouldn't mention who any one of the players, or I knew who they were, and even the managers, but he wasn't one to come home and talk about it. So I researched him, his name, and put it with every name in major league and minor leagues and with every newspaper, and to complete the story of him in baseball.
So I guess he internalized a lot of that if he didn't really bring up the name, so you didn't really get to hear about his day-to-day strife either so much.
Oh, yeah, and that's true. And again, when Oscar, of course, was in the minor leagues, and we didn't have internet as we do now, where I can just get on there. But no, Oscar wasn't the time to come home and boast about himself, or he never ever did. He wasn't one to come home and say, "Yeah, me and Joe Torre, yeah, we went out and golfed today." Never ever. He would come home and just say, "Yolanda, I want to talk about family, and how are you and so and so doing now? And I want to talk about Naomi or my mom," and that was it. That was his whole focus. And so come to find out, researching him in baseball, I found out that he was the most respected pitching coach not throughout his career. He was admired. He was sometimes hated. But the one thing he was consistent of was making sure those young boys would become men. They would become major league material. And also, when he was with the major leagues, when he became the pitching coach with the Chicago Cubs, he demanded that if anyone in the major league field, they were going to be produce major league material. So, but Oscar loved all his pitchers, and they did too in return. And many of them credit Oscar for making them the men they are and the professional baseball players that they became. So, so that's what I also discovered in researching about my brother.
Yeah, and reading the book, I got a good sense of that, and I did a little bit of research even before I started reading the book, and saw, you know, how his career went in Chicago, and I certainly knew about it, and I grew up in the New York metropolitan area, so of course I'd always heard his name. But I guess, was it tough for you to see that while he was getting a lot of credit while the Cubs were going good, inevitably when the Cubs were going bad, he was getting some of the blame, and it probably wasn't fair, but that's what sort of happens in baseball. When things go bad, they start looking at all the other coaches before they even look at the manager, it seems.
Well, I wasn't keeping up with – oh, let me take that back. I was able to see Oscar on TV. And and as far as I knew, the Cubs – the first year Oscar was there, the Cubs were just terrible. I remember one time watching the outfielders. They were just tumbling around trying to catch the ball. They were acting like high school kids. And I was just appalled. And I knew Oscar – I saw Oscar's face, and he was just grinding his teeth. I knew he was just angry at the way they were performing. But later on, the following year, it was Oscar's pitchers who carried the Cubs. It was Oscar's pitchers who had the 12 wins straight in the row. It was Oscar's pitchers who held the strikeout record of, I believe it was 1,021 strikes. And Oscar brought the Chicago Cubs from last to first in their division and kept them rolling there. In fact, they were in that place when Oscar resigned from the Chicago Cubs. So, you know, I knew Oscar could always come into a baseball team and turn them around. He did it in minor leagues, and he did it in Triple A with the Yankees. He was just always a winner, and that's all he knew. Every day, it was a grind to get out there and make sure that either they had to win. It's just like in a war. You get out there and it's either them or you, and you're going to give it all your best. And it's just the same with baseball and, of course, any other game. But Oscar,
no, I imagine it is. So how was it writing about your family and family members? Did that become an issue? That's something that could be difficult, I imagine.
Well, I always had my mother's support, and it was her memories that I also it is because of her memories that I put those stories in my book. The one that really was a little bit hesitant and gave me a little bit of a problem was my sister. We live in such a small town, or she does, in Portales and Elida. It's a rural New Mexico, and you know everybody there. But there was a few things in there that I did say, one about my brother and another of her, that she ran away. And she was just, at that point, she was just adamant that I'd stop writing my book. But later on, when my book finally was published, she read it, and she said, "Oh, Yolanda, I am so, I'm so sorry." She said, "This book is beautiful." And she said, "I'm going to buy one for myself and a couple more for my friends." So it is a heart-wrenching story. Everything is there, just bluntly said. And, you know, it was hard writing it, but as I was writing each chapter, when the towns were wonderful, I mean, I was just happy, and I could relive the things. And, of course, the same thing happened when it was just the most painful times in my life. I would feel the emotions, but through it all, I felt that Oscar and my father, who died in 1986, and also my late husband, Ralph Villegas, who also died in 1998, were all there with me, and I could just feel the presence, and I could just hear them rooting me on in their own way.
That's got to be a little bit comforting and probably helped you write it a bit. How did you feel about George Steinbrenner's passing? I imagine you had some emotions about that too.
Yes, I did. Because a couple of things. George Steinbrenner hired my brother in to become the pitching coach for the Triple A team. Mm-hmm. And Oscar said, and then this was, of course, in the newspapers, he said, come to figure. He said, go figure. How did George Steinbrenner liked me a lot? I mean, those two guys, Oscar and George Steinbrenner, got along very well. I guess because they had the same philosophy, and the one thing is we're going to win, and there's no other option. And George Steinbrenner, according to Oscar, said, "You know, you're gonna make winners out of this AAA team, or else it's your butt." And Oscar said, "Yep, that's the kind of my language that I know." And so George Steinbrenner really liked my brother. They respected each other. And I think the most thing that I'm so grateful of is after Oscar resigned from the Chicago Cubs, and when Oscar was young, at probably 6 or 7, I remember him sitting in front of the black and white TV with all his little baseball cards in front of Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, who was the other one? Mickey Mantle.
Mickey Mantle, okay.
It was Yankees. But Oscar had that dream as a young boy, and I remember I say in my book that we used to have antennas outside. I don't know if you remember that. But Oscar would have Carol or me go out and move the antenna around because the little white, black and white TV, you can see. And so he would yell at us. He'd say, okay, turn it. And he'd say, okay, right there. And just stay right there. Do not move. And, you know, those are the memories I have. And when Oscar was fired from the Texas Rangers, Oscar would always come home, of course, and start ranching and whatever he needed to do on the ranch. But the one thing I am so grateful for, George Steinbrenner, is that he hired my brother to manage the Yankee Gulf Coast League. And it was the end that Oscar died. And Oscar died in wearing the pinstripes, the Yankees, and it was his hero. So I'm always thankful for George Steinbrenner allowing Oscar
giving him
to,
the chance, yeah.
Yeah, and he died, of course, with his loved team, which was the New York Yankees.
And the Yankees really did do a nice job with handling his death. I remember when that was in the papers and it was on the radio in New York, and I actually remember listening to the live radio broadcast of it happening, and I felt like the Yankees did a good job of handling all of that with the press and your family. Did you feel the same way?
Yes, I did. Of course, we live here in New Mexico, and Oscar's wife and his family were in Florida, and of course all the Oscar's wife Kathy that was, you know, communicating with everyone there, with the media and of course with the Yankees. And as far as we knew, we would get the information from them, and yes, I am pleased with the way that Yankees handled everything, although, you know, the bodies were switched. Umberto Trejo's body was sent to Florida, and my brother's was sent to Venezuela. But, of course, I think it was the Yankees and the Bush administration that time that just really scrambled to make sure things were corrected. And so.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, and that's ultimately the most important thing. So what are your hopes for the book? I know you can let everybody know when it's coming out, the release date, the publisher, you know, give us an idea of what you have in store.
Well, of course, the book is already out. You can go to my website, which is www.acostathebook.com. And the other exciting thing is that Mayra Blaustein, from executive director from Woodstock Film Festival, read my manuscript, and she loved it. In fact, she, at that point, it was last year, she flew directly from Sundance Film Festival to Albuquerque to start writing the script on Acosta. And so Acosta will be made into a movie.
Oh, that's terrific. That's got to make you very, very happy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I wanted to let your audience know, too, that they can always get my book on Amazon.com.
Yeah, Amazon, Borders.com, Barnes & Noble. No, that's terrific. I have to think, though, with the movie, they'll probably delve a lot into his childhood and everything. And you talked about, you know, growing up. But give us an idea of what it really was like growing up. I know you do a good job of that in the book, but, you know, give us an idea of what it was like in his early childhood and what he had to overcome.
Yeah. Well, my mom and dad came to the United States in 1950. Daddy came with, it was called the Bracero Program, and it was where the United States and Mexico solicited Mexican labor to work in the United States on railroads and farms and ranches. And Daddy came to the United States at the age of 16. later on, he and Mom met, and they moved to New Mexico. It's the little small town called Elida, New Mexico. It's a ranching community, and we were really the only Hispanic family there, and everyone else, of course, were ranchers, cowboys, and so that's why I guess we talk the way we talk. A lot of people say we sound like Texans, but we learned from the natives, and it was just hard work. Daddy worked 18 hours a day, ranching, farming, and he expected Oscar at the age of 6 to become a man and know how to milk cows, how to feed them, and how to ride a horse. But so Daddy was always demanding of Oscar. Because Oscar was the man, and my dad, of course, just wanted a boy so much, and he wanted Oscar to be more than a man. And Oscar tried, and Daddy just wasn't satisfied with what Oscar would learn. At the age of 12, Oscar knew how to brand cattle, how to farm, how to drive a tractor, how to ride a horse, and even how to butcher.
I'm going to stop you there. I remember that part of it in the book, and the fact that he was able to do all that at 12 was pretty exceptional. I know I learned how to ride later in life because I didn't have horses growing up, and it was something that my wife liked to do, so we started to do it. But I know how difficult that is. But then I've also seen people trying to brand cattle and do those kinds of things. They're not easy things to do, and to be able to do that at 12 is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And, of course, Oscar, we would go to school, but Oscar, right after school, he would be working on weekends, the same thing, too. So it was just his work ethic, and he carried that into baseball, and he demanded the men and the boys to work just as hard to play a simple game, as he called it, than if he could work at the age of 12 to do all these things in the winter, summer, fall, and winter. You know, he didn't think it was too much to demand of his players. And so that's what he instilled in them, and that's what he demanded from his players.
I'm going to bring on Nico Riesgo. He's a co-host of the show, and he also played Major League Baseball and has a, you know, interesting background as well, and I'm sure he has some questions. Nico, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Russ?
I guess you wanted to probably ask Yolanda something about either Oscar or the new book, Acosta, that's already out. So far away.
Yeah, what an interesting life he lived. Never got a chance to play in the big leagues, but obviously he was a coach in the big leagues. Were you very close growing up to him?
Absolutely. Oscar and I were just there wasn't anything that he would do that I didn't know about. He confided so much in me. And there was a time that Oscar and I lived together when we were older, and we both were divorced at that time in Albuquerque. And I would see him. Oscar was tall and handsome, and he would work in Albuquerque about 3-4 o'clock in the morning till sundown, and then he would go out and just dance all night long, and that's all he would ever do. He just couldn't stand still, and I think there was a lot of things going through his mind. He wanted just never have a moment to think about what was going on in his personal relationship. That's all he could do to deal with it. When he was in baseball, he would always call me and said, "Hey Yoli, look at there's going to be an article about me in the parade, or there's going to be an article about me in the Albuquerque Journal. So you start looking at it." But yes, he was quite a brother and a loving son. He was the type of son that would pick up my mom and carry her to the car to pick up if she was sick. I mean, he would just treat her like a little baby, and Mom and Oscar were very, very close. And, of course, his loss just has taken my mama, her whole heart is ripped out. But this book is an inspiration to her, and she is just really, really excited about the book, about the movie, and she wants, it was her desire to have everyone know about Oscar. So Yeah, Oscar and I were very close.
Yeah, I can say the brief time that I've read through the excerpts of the book that it seems like it's a very interesting story and would be a phenomenal movie idea. I'd love to see the story taken to the next level.
Yeah. Do you remember when Oscar resigned from the Chicago Cubs? No?
I do. Nico,
no.
Do you? Were you? No, you don't.
No.
I do, though.
No, I don't. I remember
and I read
that,
about
no.
it.
Yeah. Well, according... okay. Well, Oscar was so loved by the Chicago, his players, by the pitchers, that there was some, and keep in mind that Chicago Cubs were in first place. And,
yep.
And there was some sort of conflict, I guess, going on with Don Baylor and Oscar.
Yes.
But a reporter let Oscar know beforehand that Don Baylor was not going to keep him the next season. And at this point, John Lieber was... ready to break Greg Maddux's 20th, his record for 20 wins.
20 wins,
And Oscar just, that's all he wanted. And Oscar would call home every night whenever there was, there was a game. And many times he'd ask for prayer for his pitchers, for Kerry Woods, for his arm. And this particular time he called home and he wanted prayer for this particular pitcher. And he named, we didn't know who he was, John Lieber was the person. But it was that night that, and I was watching the game on TV when John Lieber broke Greg Maddux's record. And I remember seeing Oscar running up to the field and to the mound and hugging and congratulating John Lieber. And according to one of the reporters, they said that Oscar had tears in his eyes. And he said, if you're done, I'm done. And they walked off from the field and went into the clubhouse to drink a beer. And then all of a sudden, the signs go up that Oscar Acosta resigned. And then when the reporters came trying to get some answers from the pitchers, they were just they were furious. I mean, Don Baylor almost had, according to the reporters, a mutiny on his hands. They thought this was criminal. And many reporters said if a man had to go, I think the wrong man left. So yeah.
No,
so
was it Don Baylor or was it Dusty Baker?
No, it was
Don Baylor.
Then Don Baylor was.
He was the manager there.
Yes. And it was. Oscar was always appreciative. He never said anything about Don Baylor. He said, I appreciate the fact that he, he gave me the opportunity. And Russ may know this better, but I believe it was during Oscar's time with Don Baylor and Sandy Alomar and Bill, I think it's Billy Williams. They were the first minority coach or managing staff ever in the history of the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, I think that's true. And actually, I'm looking up Lieber's year that year was 20-6, and he'd never matched that again. And that was in 2001, which is pretty incredible. And then if you look at that pitching staff, Nico, you had Kerry Wood, Kevin Trapani, Jason Bray, Todd Van Poppel. I mean, it wasn't the greatest collection of pitchers. Even Zambrano was getting his start then. So certainly Oscar's influence helped these guys long past, when he was out of the majors, because Lieber went on to have a good career. Wood's still pitching.
He's back with the Yankees.
Yep. Kyle Farnsworth is still pitching. Zambrano, a lot of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Wendell on that staff?
No.
Kirk Wendell,
who's asking if Turk Wendell was on that staff, and he wasn't. Tom Gordon was, though.
Yes,
Flash
he was.
Gordon.
Flash Gordon, Oscar had, according to the papers, I do remember this one time when Carlos Zambrano and Oscar was really, really tough on Carlos Zambrano. And Oscar thought that Carlos Zambrano wasn't giving his best. One time I think he lost the game, and Oscar wouldn't even go up there to the mound to even visit with him. That on one particular time, and I write this in my book, when I was watching the Chicago Cubs and Zambrano was pitching, that they lost, and I could see Oscar just wincing and grinding his teeth and the jaws. And after the game, the commentator said, now, in a few minutes, we're going to be talking to pitching coach Oscar Acosta. And I thought, oh, dear. So so after the commercial, they came back, and then they said, well, now, Oscar, what do you think happened tonight? And Oscar said, what happens tonight is if you don't keep to the mechanics of baseball, you're going to have your ass handed to you every single time. And the reporter looked at Oscar, and he said, well, that's Oscar Acosta. And I thought, oh, my God. He's going to be called to the office, and I don't know. But that was Oscar. I mean, he said it like he saw it. And
but that probably helped out Zambrano because he's had some trouble on the mound even since then with just being mechanically correct and listening to the manager and coaches. So, but I do want to point out, and, Nico, then I'll let you ask another question. We've got about 3 minutes left. That year, the Cubs scored only 777 runs, but they only allowed 701. So it showed how good the pitching was, and if they had a little better hitting, they'd have been a much better team.
Yeah.
So that certainly wasn't Oscar's fault. He did what he needed to do. I mean, that was they were 88 and 74, but they could have even been better than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Oscar did. He went to the Texas Ranger and was doing almost the same thing there.
Mm-hmm.
You can read that in my book. And
did you actually write this book yourself, or did you have some help? What made you did you just pick up a pencil and start remembering the stories, or pick up articles? How did you come about the book?
Well, yes, I started writing it out, and rewriting it and rewriting it, and then I started putting it in order, and of course I had, you know, editors would help me just put it in the commas here and whatever I needed to put. And yes, it was just writing it and rearranging sentences and whatever. But yeah, every single thing was done.
How long did it take?
How long did it take you to?
It took me about 14 months, but it might have been a little bit longer. But 14 months that it took me finally to get it done and get it published, and it's just out now. So thank God for that.
Yeah.
But
no,
I really Pardon me?
Go ahead, Yolanda. What did you want to say?
No, I just want to encourage everybody to get out and read about get the book Acosta and really read about my family and my brother's life and get a perspective of what we are about and where Oscar came from, and you know, just go to my website again, www.acosta.com, and I would appreciate it if you would also write you know, your comments on it.
That would be good. Sure, we can get people to do that. And Nico, we've got about a minute left if you want to ask one last question.
Yeah, are you a fan yourself of the game of baseball?
You know what? No, I never watched it until Oscar became the pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs, and I think the only reason I did was because it was televised. And then after that, of course, Oscar was with the Texas Rangers. I didn't have access to that, but I would read the stats on it. And then when he was with the Yankees with the minors, of course, I didn't know really much what was going on. Although that I knew that Oscar, when he was with the Yankees, after the Texas Ranger, was manager of the year for 2 years in a row with a Gulf Coast league. There's a very interesting story, of course, when the Texas Rangers come back to Wrigley Field with their most loved pitching coach facing his pitchers, and of course Oscar's pitchers from the Texas Rangers beat his loved pitching staff from the Cubs. But there was a lot of fraternizing there between the pitchers and my brother, and something that you don't see. It shouldn't happen, I understand, but yeah, the loyalty for Oscar was always there, and vice versa.
Yeah, Nico can attest that sometimes pitchers will go back to an original pitching coach and still ask him for support, even though he's no longer with the team. So I know you've probably seen that happen, Nico.
Oh, absolutely. There's a bond that grows there that goes beyond the game.
Well, I got to tell you, Yolanda, we really appreciate you coming on. Everybody should get the book, Acosta. I really enjoyed reading it.
Yeah.
And we enjoyed having you on. And thanks very much, and good luck.
Well, thank you. Listen, I want to say again, it's acostathebook.com.
There you go, acostathebook.com.
Okay, acostathebook.com, yes.
Well, thanks so much.
Any favorites on the World Series? Any winners? Any predictions who's going to win the World Series this year?
Yankees. You know, go Yankees. I see that they're going to be playing the let's see, who was it this morning? The Twins.
Oh, Yankees. Yeah, they're playing the Twins.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
So,
we're going to have a full preview up on Friday, Nico. And Yolanda, we wouldn't expect you to root for anybody else. And like I said, that's going to end this edition of the game, and we'll catch everybody next time. Thanks so much.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Russ. Bye, Yolanda.
Bye-bye.